You won't see the results if you're not recovering. So that healing portion is coming from our parasympathetic nervous system. So if we can kickstart that parasympathetic nervous system by doing just like a 3, 4, 5 minute cool down, where you increase the length of your exhales, you do some gentle mobility, you're giving your nervous system these signs and signals that you're safe, you're secure, it can decrease some of that epinephrine, some of those stress hormones, and you can enter into that more calm nervous system state. You recover better, you're going to have a better day, you're going to feel better. And what's really fascinating is that you might feel like you can be more consistent with your workout.
Welcome to the SensoryWise Solutions podcast for parents, where parents can get real, actionable strategies to support kids with sensory processing disorder. I'm Laura, OT and mom to Liliana, a sensory sensitive kid who inherited my anxiety and my love for all things Disney. Consider me your new OT mom bestie. I know my stuff, but I also know what it's really like in the trenches of parenting a child with sensory processing disorder.
Okay, mom, enough about me. Let's start the podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. If you are a burnt out parent who has decided that you want to start adding exercise or movement to your routine, but you're not quite sure where to start, how to start, and maybe you're also not one of those quote active or really not into exercising kind of people. Trust me, I was definitely you, I promise. This episode is exactly for you. But don't turn off the episode if that's not you. If you feel like this doesn't really seem obviously applicable to a parenting podcast. I am not a fitness person. I don't define myself as that. And this is certainly not a fitness podcast. But remember, part of my mission here on the SensoryWise Solutions podcast is to help parents gain confidence and the skills and tools to raise and support neurodivergent kids. And guess what? Yes. I'm going to say it. We cannot co-regulate our kids if we are not regulated ourselves. And most of us, raise your hands. I'm raising both of my hands here. Most of us need to make extra effort to activate our parasympathetic nervous system, because our sympathetic nervous system can go into overdrive so quickly as parents to neurodivergent kids. Chronic dysregulation and chronic sympathetic nervous system activation is definitely a thing that exists. Our kids can experience it and we can too. And remember what I always say, regulation and dysregulation are contagious. So when we're chronically dysregulated, literally everything in our day just becomes harder, less efficient. We as parents become crankier, more burnt out, less able to access the best parenting skills that we have. So I put off creating an exercise routine for a long time because I really wasn't the most active person and it didn't motivate me. And I truly, truly hated, rolled my eyes anytime someone suggested doing something active when I was stressed out or feeling like I was always anxious. I'll share more of that in the podcast, but just trust me when I say it's true. It's really true what they say. I hate to admit it, but it's true. Consistent movement in a way that feels good and works for your nervous system that incorporates a good warm-up and cool-down can truly do wonders for your mental health. And I am a better parent and wife now that I have a workout regime that works for me. And it really has nothing to do with losing weight or inches or any of those vanity metrics at all. So keep listening. In this interview, I talk with Dr. Shannon. She is a former physical therapist and the founder of Evlo Fitness, which is my go-to favorite fitness app. Her mission is to help women get stronger and build muscle with less strain on their bodies. And she believes in the power of educating about the physiology of our bodies to create fitness programs that aren't overly depleting or exhausting. So if by the end of this episode, you decide you want to try Evlo, Dr. Shannon has given us a code to use for a 1 month free trial of the program. So you're just going to head to www.evlofitness.com. That is EVLOfitness.com and type in the code TheOTButterfly and you will get a 1 month free trial. All right, let's get into the episode. Yay, here we are. It's so good to finally meet you face to face, Shannon. You are in my living room almost every day. My daughter would recognize you at this point. You have been such a huge part of my journey. So it's so good to have you on the podcast and I get to share you with everyone. Welcome.
Well, I'm honored to be here and honored to be in your living room. And also, I feel like I know you too from social media. So it's always so fun getting to connect to people, actually talking to them. It's even weirder really meeting people in like real life and like seeing how tall or short they are after I feel like I know them on Instagram or like through Zoom calls or whatever. It's like, that's a trip too.
People get so surprised by how short I am. And they're like, I thought you were so tall. Like, I'm very, very short. I'm like 5 feet tall on a good day, usually like 4'11" and like a couple inches. Yeah. In fact,
I'm shook. I would never know really? That.
In fact, I always have to do modifications for any of the movements where I'm forgetting the name of it. Is it like the half deadlift?
Yes.
I think it's that one. And every time I like bend down, like I don't have much movement because like I run into, like I'm so short that, so I'm like, how come they can like go? I'm like, I'm barely moving and I'm hitting the ground, like my torso is so short. So I'm always
short
like,
levers. So
it's- yes, yes. So whenever I hear you remind people, you're like, you might have to adjust things because it might not. I was like, I think that's me. So I always have to figure that part out. So yeah, it's such a trip. So today, Shannon, I preach about Evlo all the time and people, you know, on social media, there are affiliates, there's sponsors. And I always feel the need to overly say I'm not sponsored or affiliated by certain things, but I just truly, truly believe in how much it's helped, how much I love it. And just to take you back through my journey, anyone who's listening, and I don't think I've shared my full journey with Shannon. I think I may have messaged either, I think it was Evlo, the main account at first, but I am someone who has never been able to stick to a consistent workout or diet. And my entire life, I wouldn't say I've struggled with weight, but I've gone through the normal, like, I want to lose weight for my prom dress, for my wedding dress, for vacation, and would do these really intense, like 90 days to this, like shred it to whatever is called and try this diet. And so I would do it just enough to look however I wanted. And then I would completely like lose track. So it was never a full lifestyle change. And I also say, like, if someone were to say, like, you know, what's a fun fact about you? I would say my fun fact is I don't like to sweat. I really don't enjoy sweating. I don't like a lot of things that are associated with cardio and like high impact stuff. I'm not a very active person even to begin with. I'm a very homebody, cozy, chill kind of person. So all of those things don't really lend itself to what I had in my mind, an active exercise kind of thing, right? And even the outdoor piece of just go for a walk, that was also really hard for me. Now, fast forward to 2023, I just got really motivated to try something that would be more consistent and things that would help my mental health, my anxiety, my burnout as a parent to a neurodivergent child. And so I started with a more typical boot camp thing. I'm not going to call out the program, but it was a very 21-day thing that I did. And I repeated, and it was the first time I finished 21 days. And then I repeated it again, and I did it 42 days, and I kept going. And I said, oh my gosh, I can stick to this. This is great. And then I started feeling a tiny bit of burnout and was trying to like work through it and like, no, you can do it. Maybe add a few more recovery days. Maybe, you know, skip a few days here. And then I started to explore different kinds of programs. And one of my followers suggested Evlo. And I remember looking at some of the videos and thinking, this is so different than what I was doing in those HIIT boot camps. And I think I even messaged you or whoever was running Evlo. I was like, this feels like a big like decrease in output from what I was doing from my boot camps. And I'm nervous to lose the progress that I've made, yet I clearly know this is not sustainable for my body. And then they were like, just give it a 2-week try. That's why we have trials. Like, and it's common for that. And so I did it and I have never looked back. There are so many things I could say that I love about Evlo, but I just want to stop there and just let you kind of either emphasize something that I've said, or just maybe this is a story you hear often, but that's kind of how, what led me into Evlo. And now I'm coming up on my like 1 year in terms of just exercising, but I've been doing Evlo, I think, since like maybe April or May.
Incredible. Well, a few things that struck me about that is, number one, I think your story of saying like, yeah, I don't really like exercising is not like, no one wants to say that, but I think so many people feel that in their bones. And everyone thinks like, you do fitness for a living. Like, I do fitness for a living. You should love exercise. I don't love exercising. I never have. I've always forced myself to do it. And in fact, I've never really felt good doing like the HIIT and stuff like that. I know it's like, it could be good for you in small doses, but I'm the same way. And I think that giving people permission to be like, yeah, not my favorite thing to do, is really important, because it makes people feel like they're not broken or there's not something wrong with them. It's like, yeah, some people that comes really naturally to them, especially if they were, you know, athletes at young ages and things like that, just more of a part of their life, or if they're just good at exercising, they're going to lean into it a little bit more. But that's, I find so many people who get frustrated. And one of the reasons why they're burnt out is because they're like, this just sucks. Mm-hmm. And I can't integrate it into my life in a way that is enjoyable. And so I think that's number one, is giving you permission that like, if you don't love exercising, you aren't alone. And I think more of us need to admit it, because it helps us feel like, okay, I'm not the weirdo here.
Yeah.
And then number two, I think, is that your concern about Evlo not feeling like it was enough, or like, I'm not sweating, or I'm not like burning a million calories, or like, I don't feel completely exhausted and depleted after these workouts. Does this mean that this workout isn't enough to actually drive change in my body? And it's interesting. I've been doing on the past few days a lot of research on fatigue and overall results. And they aren't linear. Just because you're more tired from a workout does not mean that that workout is more effective. The most important thing when it comes to driving results is that you have a high stimulation to the muscles that you're targeting. So you could do a workout and you could be sweating and jumping around and pounding on your body and doing burpees and throwing weights around. But unless your body has really specific stimulus to one muscle group and then the next, and then the next, and then the next, you're really not going to see results. So you can end up depleting yourself and kind of being on this hamster wheel of feeling tired and exhausted and burnt out and like bored, honestly, or unmotivated to continue, and yet not really seeing the progress that you want, because you're not funneling your efforts in the right way. So I think that when people come to Evlo, they're really surprised to see, oh my gosh, I have way more muscle definition than I ever did doing these quote unquote harder workouts, but I don't feel as depleted. I don't feel as exhausted. And it's truly, I know this has become cliche and it's almost like, what does this even mean anymore? But it's truly a working smarter, not harder approach. And when you use exercise in a way that stimulates muscle very specifically, stabilizes other areas of your body, and you just focus on one muscle group at a time, you can fully fatigue that muscle. You're not stopped by just feeling gassed, or you're not stopped because, you know, my back hurts or whatever. You're stopped because that muscle is stopping you. That's what allows you to actually develop the adaptation, the muscle growth, the change in your body, and yet not feel like you got hit by a truck. So I think that your concern with like, I'm afraid I'm going to lose progress, is very valid, but a lot of it comes from marketing of like, you know, any fitness commercial you see, or not even that, like Nike, Gatorade, whatever, the athlete that's on the commercial is jacked. They're, you know, they've got these beautiful muscles and they're leaning over, they're breathing heavy, sweat's dripping off their body. And we think, oh, in order to look like that, I must have to do that type of workout. So it's embedded deep in our brains from marketing. So it's no one's fault, but it's just that we need a more educated approach. Otherwise, people are just not going to stick to things and they're going to burn out and it's not going to fit in their lifestyle.
100%. Like, who wants to stick with something that doesn't make them feel good or has such a delayed gratification that's relied on like you fitting into clothes or a certain number you're hitting on the scale? And I think even more attuned to my audience and people I talk to are moms or people who have given birth and no longer have a certain body type that we used to have. And a lot of my first thoughts were getting back to like my pre-baby body. And I've done a lot of work of learning how to accept and love the new body that I have. And so then that came with me starting to question certain phrases in diet culture and those fitness apps that were like, oh, it's, you know, we're returning from a weekend. Let's do a few more jumping jacks to burn off that margarita. Like all of those little subtle things that are funny and people are like, yeah, let's do it. And then over time, I'm like, well, I don't like thinking about earning food or earning drinks or things like that, you know? So changing that mindset was helpful. And then I also realized that I am not the kind of person, and I'm sure it works for some people, I don't get motivated by that drill sergeant, keep going, you can do it, like that. Like, even though it's a motivational thing for some people, like my nervous system does not respond well to that. And I almost shut down even more if someone's like, you're almost there, just keep going. I love in Evlo when you are Paisley is like, I'm done. You guys can keep going if you need to, but like my muscles are saying I'm done. And just that permission just makes me feel so much more at ease and attuned to my own body rather than like beating the clock. Like, come on, they're still doing it. Like I should do it too. Like, and that's what has been consistently letting me feel good about the exercises. And I also really love when you say, like, if you don't like push-ups, you don't have to do push-ups. There's so many other things, right? And those other kinds of boot camp classes, they're not stopping to modify for you. It's like, come on, get up. You can do it. Don't be a sissy. Like that kind of attitude.
Yes. And it's hard because, again, a lot of that just comes from tradition of like no pain, no gain. And that culture hasn't really changed in decades. And it's like, well, there might be better ways to motivate people. And people's bodies are probably going to feel better when they do choose exercises that fit their bodies better. Like you were just saying, you are shorter. And so your levers, the physical length of your bones are different than someone who is taller. So therefore, certain exercises might feel easy for you, whereas someone that's taller, they might feel harder because of the physical length of their bones, or vice versa. You might have a harder time with certain exercises than someone who has longer legs and longer femurs or longer forearms or whatever it may be. And so the fact that we make everyone's body shove into these certain exercises and say, this is the gold standard that everyone needs to do, and you need to do it with this exact form, is just unfortunately not how human physiology works. And so giving people the autonomy to say, this exercise is great, this exercise is a one-for-one swap, choose your preference. Mm-hmm. And not only do we see that by allowing someone to choose their preference of exercise, it might be more effective for their body because of their lever lengths, like the physical length of their bones and the shapes of their bones and their body proportions. But we see in studies that when people are given autonomy over which exercises to choose, they actually see better results. And the reason for that is because when you choose an exercise that you enjoy, you're more likely to put more effort into that exercise because it's more comfortable for you. Maybe it feels it's something that you feel like you can push yourself a little bit harder in. You can get better motor unit recruitment, so better mind to muscle recruitment. And therefore, you can get better stimulus to the muscle and see better results. So I think that when we understand some of these pieces, we start to question some of those fitness norms of saying, like, if it hurts, like, that means you need it.
Yeah.
Or like, if it's uncomfortable, that means you need it. And it's like,
Right.
wait a second.
Yeah.
Or maybe there's another way that I can achieve the same outcome, which is to build a stronger body without feeling miserable
Yeah.
and hating every second of it.
And for the longest time, I was like, I can't tell if I'm in pain or if this is like a muscle I've never worked out. I'm just going to keep going. Like, I just was so confused with the way my body was responding to things. And never, I would avoid like in-person gyms like the plague before even COVID. Like, I just did. I think a lot of women share that self-conscious and just there's just this
Yes.
culture of like, people staring at you. Am I doing it wrong? And there's absolutely no way I have ever stuck to an in-person gym unless it was a class. And even those, it just having to drive myself like that, including as part of like the time it took away from my day, it was like
Yes.
just never something that worked out for me.
Well, it's like a 2-hour thing because if you think about it, you gotta leave early for class, you gotta get there early, get your spot, and then take the class and then drive home. And it's like a, it is like more of a like versus like if you could just take a class in your PJs and not do your hair or makeup and not even
Totally.
brush
And
your
my
teeth.
daughter's in the background watching TV. And she, oh my gosh, Shannon, she, every time I'm working out, she'll do something while I'm working out. But every time it comes down to like the cool down, she joins me. Like, she loves the cool down. She does all the wrist circles. She loves Shavasana. She'll do cat cow. Like, sometimes I won't even notice because my eyes are closed the whole time and I have noise canceling headphones in my earphones while she's watching her show. And I'll just like do my last, like, this and then I open my eyes and she's like in front of me facing me. I'm like, oh, have you been doing this the whole time? And
Wait,
sometimes
that
she'll
is the
tap
most
me next to me.
precious.
She loves it. She loves the cool down part of it. And
But that just goes to show, like,
yeah,
gosh, kids are so intuitive and they
kids are
just
so
know
intuitive.
what feels good. And
Yeah.
they, if kids are doing it and craving
Yeah.
it, like,
Well,
that means we as adults need it too.
we do a lot of breathing. We are, she and I both have similar neurotypes. We're both anxious and sensory sensitive. So we do a lot of like double inhale, exhale breathing, like really parasympathetic activation stuff. So I really, really soak in that like cool down. But I love how like my ears just like tingle whenever you guys use the nervous system language, because I coach parents about that all the time, more in the sense of how to help support their kids' nervous system. But of course it happens for adults. And of course we need our nervous systems to be regulated before we can even co-regulate a child.
Yes.
But one of my
Yes.
favorite things that I hear you talk about, you and Paisley always talk about when we're warming up, as you're helping us breathe, and then you're saying start to get that sympathetic nervous system online. And then when we're cooling down, you're always talking about the importance of leaving your mat in a parasympathetic activation state.
Yes.
And this is
Yes.
something I've obviously knew, but I experienced it in a hard way when I was doing those boot camp classes, and my daughter would interrupt me during like a high intensity. Like, I was doing those like jump rope things and burpees and like I forget the acronym, but you had to do as many reps as possible, AMRAPs, throughout like
Yes,
the
AMRAP.
it, you know. And she stopped me in the middle of something and I couldn't get back to it. And I was irritable the rest of the day, moody. Like, I was
Wow.
so impacted. And I was like, I think it's because I've just fully turned on like high notch elevated sympathetic nervous system. Then my daughter was stressed out and melting down, and I couldn't cool down. And that was the most unpleasant experience I've ever had. And
Wow.
then fast forward to hearing you guys talk about how important it is to leave the mat in that way. I was like, this is all making sense. Can you touch on a little bit of that and how it looks to maybe ramp up the sympathetic nervous system intentionally in a good
Yes.
way, and then why it's important to leave?
I think this is such a good conversation because I think that people are afraid to activate their sympathetic nervous system. And so, therefore, they want to do yoga only or Pilates only that doesn't activate it at all. And I think that there's nothing wrong with activating your sympathetic nervous system. In fact, we want to a little bit when it comes to exercise, because when we have a little bit higher sympathetic activation, we can access better muscular output. So, and that can lead to stronger, more effective workouts. So it's not bad or wrong to activate that sympathetic nervous system, but we always say that we just don't want to stay there. And so a lot of people will, and Evelyn members, I know do this too, Evelyn members that are listening, don't skip the cool down, but you'll finish the, people tell me, they're like, I know I shouldn't. And I'm like, yeah, but if you understand why, then you wouldn't. Yeah. So people will do their workout and then skip the cool down and just go into their daily life. But if you're leaving your mat in that like higher fight or flight stressed zone, like you said, you're going to go into, number one, you're not going to recover as well because your parasympathetic nervous system is the rest, digest, and heal component of your nervous system. Healing from your workouts is just as important as the work itself. You won't see the results if you're not recovering. So that healing portion is coming from our parasympathetic nervous system. So if we can kickstart that parasympathetic nervous system by doing just like a 3, 4, 5 minute cool down, where you increase the length of your exhales, you do some gentle mobility, you're giving your nervous system these signs and signals that you're safe, you're secure, it can decrease some of that epinephrine, some of those stress hormones, and you can enter into that more calm nervous system state. You recover better, you're going to have a better day, you're going to feel better. And what's really fascinating is that you might feel like you can be more consistent with your workout because how you bookend your workouts is really important. If Laura knows this, but we start every workout with breath work, mobility. So we're starting gentle and we're ending gentle. We're ending with breath work and mobility and Shavasana, that kind of end of class relaxation. And when you can bookmark your workout with those tools, you might feel like showing up to a workout just feels a little easier. You know that you're going to ease in. You're not going to jump in and do burpees. It's not going to hurt right away. You're going to ease in and then your body's going to be ready and you're going to be like, okay, let's do it. Let's lift the weights or let's do the whatever we're doing. And then I'm going to end gentle too. And I'm going to leave my mat feeling really good. And you have that like, calm ease afterwards. You're training your brain that this isn't something we should be afraid of. This is something that we can gravitate towards because we're going to feel so much better before, during, and after. So I do think that, you know, there's endless tools to improve your nervous system. Like you talk about all the time. I'm sure a lot of stuff that you talk about can be applied to adults as well. But I think that just lacing in those little things just for like a few minutes in your workout can really make the biggest difference.
Yes. And I think the fact that you're a PT, just automatically we're speaking the same language, but I really love when the warm-ups and also the cool downs, but the warm-ups seem very intentional, obviously, but you'll talk us through it and say like, you know, we're going to wake up those calf muscles. We're going to remind yourself, you know, like where, how you're, we're going to move your elbow, wake up your wrist muscles, like whatever we're working on that day, rather than just everybody, just like the first thing that I would do on like a warm up for a boot camp was like jumping jacks, and like that had like nothing to do with what we were working out that day. Yeah. And just like full like shock to my nervous system, depending on, especially if that's the first thing you're doing, you're waking up and like you're just rushing into that. It doesn't work for me.
It's so hard to get started too. Like it's so hard to like press play on that, knowing that
that's what it was. Yesterday, I was like going to video or like take a picture to share as a motivation to people, but I didn't. Yesterday, I was feeling like really blah, and turns out today I started my period, so it was like just my body knowing. So I go back and forth with like, do I listen to my body and just rest, because I know I've also been working on rest is productive, rest is okay. But I was like, I kind of like, I also know that when I feel this way, working out tends to do like a pick me up, just as if a cup of coffee would, because this was like in my workout time is usually 2 to 3 p.m. when that slump is. And I was like,
love that.
I'm just going to get started. And if I need to stop, I can stop. I'm just going to at least start with the warm up. And I know either you or Paisley shared that tip, something again I've heard before, but hearing it at the right time in your life just makes all the difference. So I was like, just going to get started. And look, I made it through the whole workout. Yeah, I marked some of the motions. I was going through some of them. I did a few lighter weights, but I moved my body and I felt so much better after. But if I knew this was a HIIT workout or like a boot camp workout, Zero. It would have been way too hard of a challenge for my body that I would have shut down before I even started.
100%. And that's what we call, we've actually trademarked this because we believe in it so much, but gentle consistency, which, you know, we talk about, but it's basically just like, listen, we're human beings. We're going to have those days where, you know, I was sick yesterday. And I was like, there's no way I'm doing anything. And sometimes that's fine too. But having those days where you're just like, I just don't want to, or I'm not feeling A++ today, and showing up to your workout and maybe lifting lighter, or maybe doing the warm up one set, fast forward to the cool down, or doing something, loading your muscles at least in a little bit of a way, can help keep you, number one, in that routine of like, I'm still showing up for myself, which really helps with that forward momentum, I think, and the consistency. Number two, you're still loading your muscles. So you're still getting benefit, even if it's not like your hardest A++ workout. And then number three, you're training your body that you can stay consistent regardless of, you know, if you feel crappy one day, and that you don't have to deplete your body in order to continue moving yourself forward. So I love that you did that, because I think we are very much in an all or nothing culture when it comes to fitness. And that's just not how we operate as human beings, especially as parents. Like, I'm about to be a parent in March. And so I'm thinking forward to like, okay, what's my exercise routine going to look like? And I think I'm definitely going to need to apply this in a whole nother way I'm happy that I have these tools of like, okay, let's just do something, even if it's not A+. And I still, to this day, as a fitness instructor, all the time have workouts where I'm like, that was like a C. That was not even close to an A, but like, that's okay. And then the next day I'll have an A workout, and it ends up balancing each other out. And I'll say by adopting that philosophy, I have seen better results than I ever have with any other program. And I think it's just because it fits better with your physiology and your lifestyle.
That's how I feel about parenting. When you become a parent, there's as a parent coach, you're like, as the expert in fitness, as a quote, like expert in parenting, I'm like, that was not my best parenting today. I did not handle that meltdown very well, but you know what? Tomorrow is a different day. I'm not shooting for perfect. I'm not shooting for this. In fact, I think it's better to model mistakes and repair with my daughter, so she sees that I have emotions too, and you can repair. Like, so I will always find a way to reconcile with myself if I'm feeling like myself, but why it's harder. But my favorite quote at the end of all the Evlo cool downs, it's thank yourself for showing up. You've done enough. Like, that just message, I think particularly parents need to hear it over and over and over again. You are enough. You've done enough. Like, especially, you know, parents of my audience who have kids who are neurodivergent, and we constantly are being bombarded by things we should do more of, things we should do less of, things to avoid. And even parents of neurotypical kids will get the same message. So I love gentle consistency. I love that you trademarked it, and it automatically rung a bell, because OTs talk about just right challenge, which is more referring to how to create an environment or a task and modify it so that it meets the child where they're at, so that they don't feel overwhelmed and like, don't try at all. Right. So we're constantly adapting that. So a lot of the things that you say and talk about just fit so, so well into everything that I say.
That's beautiful. I mean, it can be applied to every facet of your life, right? Like,
yeah,
literally everything.
Balance is everything. And I just am that person who needs that permission to like, hey, if it doesn't feel good, you don't have to, not like, just keep going. Like, it completely triggers me.
I'm the same way. And I think maybe, you know, maybe it is a little bit of a personality thing where some people are like, I need that push.
Sure. Yes.
Otherwise I'm not going to do it. But I think I'm the same way as you. If someone's pushing me, I'm like,
I don't want to do. Nope. Yeah. I always joke with my husband. I'm like, if someone says go big or go home, I'm like, I'm going home. Like, if you tell me go big or go home, bye. Like, I don't do that. Like, I don't show up. Like, I think it's a personality. I think part of it is like imposter syndrome. Some things I'm working through, but I know I show up more when I know the person there is flexible and attuned to me and at least listening to me, or at least giving me the autonomy to do what I think is best and not making me feel bad for not. Same. Right.
I think that, you know, traditionally, again, the fitness industry, to bring it back to that, has been more focused on the personality type that they're just like, yes, coach, whatever you say, coach, like, I'm going to do whatever you want me to do, coach. And I think that there is a lot of the population that's like you and I that are motivated by autonomy, that are motivated by like, here are your options. What works? What works best? What feels best for you? And I think that there's plenty of people in probably both camps. But knowing yourself and kind of knowing where you lie, I think, and knowing that there are tools for you, if you are like Laura or me and like that autonomy and feel more motivated by that, there's ways that you can be fit and have fitness in your lifestyle that doesn't have to be 110% all out, no pain, no gain kind of culture in order to be really effective.
Yeah. And so people always ask me how I got started and what the time for the, one of the top questions I always get asked, how long does it take? How long are the Evlo workouts, right? Like what? And I have been a person who could never sustain an hour workout session. Like I'm just too many things going through my head. I cannot fully just like be in the zone of working out for longer than 30 to 40 minutes. And I've done boot camp classes that were like 25 minutes, but the warmups were like 30 seconds and the cool down was like two stretches. So I find the time, the 5 day a week track that I do the 5 day a week track, no cardio. And each session is like 35 minutes. I would say most weeks I can stick to 5 days, but there's some weeks when I only do four and I'll skip a day and I'll just pick up to where I'm at. If someone's listening out there and they are coming from not working out at all, and they're saying, you know, I'm really motivated, I want to try, is there a particular workout or track of yours that you think is perfect for like a beginner who's just starting, where they won't feel overwhelmed and it can just be a great place to start?
Yes. So I think, so we have, anytime someone is new to our program, they go through an assessment and it will, if you're new, it'll put you in what's called our foundations track. So this is 5 35-minute workouts, super structured. You just show up on Monday, take the workout that's on Monday. You show up on Tuesday, take the workout that's on Tuesday. It's all on your homepage for you. And those classes, I always say, aren't any like quote unquote easier. They're just a little, the pace is a little slower so that you can get used to our exercises that we do, which are, can be a little different for some people. You can get used to our pacing, the way we do things, cueing. And we do a ton of education in class. So that foundations week will be the first week that you start with. And then from there, you can go into like what you're doing, the different tracks. So we have 3, 4, or 5 time per week track, and you can choose with or without cardio. And all of the tracks are equally as effective. It's just a matter of which fits in your lifestyle best. And then we also have, if people are overwhelmed, like 35 minutes is a no. We also have mini workouts. So workouts that are less than 20 minutes. And we have like a minis track. You can change your homepage to the minis, and take those, and those are great too. So I just think, we want this program to feel like it's holding your hand. Like you don't have to think about it. Like you're just like, I know exactly, like, I don't have to plan my muscle groups. I don't have to sort through a million classes. We do new classes Monday through Friday, and we all are doctors of physical therapy. So you just show up, you take the class of the day and 35 minutes and then you're done. So I think that could be helpful for parents too, is like taking the guesswork out of it, of even having to scroll through a platform and pick a class. It's like, no, the class that we program for you is right there. It's brand new. You've never taken it before. I know my husband is like a busy, you know, he works and he takes the Evlo classes and he's like, I will never go back to just doing my own workouts because I don't have to think about it. It's like that's one less decision I have to make in my day.
It's the one, if I even, when I was abroad, I was in another country and Wi-Fi was spotty, but thankfully you had the app had just started, the new app. Like it was like the week or the month that you just started. And so I couldn't watch the video all the way through, but you had the list of the exercises. that I knew how to do. So I was working myself through it, but it like extended the workout. I got distracted. I was like, was that to failure? Like, I can't tell, or did I just take up, like, it was just too much. And I couldn't be like into the workout as much as when I follow the pace. So I much prefer video paced, and having you or someone, you know, call out breath work and reminding us of certain forms and stuff. That still helps me quite a bit.
Yes. It gives you that like time box. It's like,
yes.
It's like, okay, I know when this starts. I know when this ends.
Yeah.
I'm like, I see the timestamp right there. Yep. Like,
okay. And what would you say for if someone's listening right now and they're like, this sounds great. And maybe eventually they'll want to try a program. They're not quite ready to start a program, but they know they need to move their body more. They keep hearing it. They know they need to make some sort of change to their daily routine and maybe feel overwhelmed with the idea of how to fit it in as a parent. Where would you suggest they start just so that it feels doable for them? Do you have any tips for someone like that?
Definitely. I think that we can view exercise. There's a really cool tool that I actually don't talk about that often, but it's called exercise snacking. And it's when you just incorporate like 1 minute of an exercise just throughout your day. So maybe you do it like, maybe you do 1 minute of sit to stands where you sit on your chair and you stand up and you do that just 5 times randomly throughout your day. Or you do a minute of jumping jacks or a minute of push-ups or whatever it might be. It doesn't have to be a minute either. It can be more or less. But I think this idea of like exercise snacking is really interesting and can get you kind of get your body moving, and something is better than nothing, of course. And then from there, you might feel like, okay, I'm ready to add something a little more structured. I'm ready to add something that if you're really trying to make a change in your body, you do need structure and you do need intention. It's not like the exercise snacking is going to, you know, create huge changes in your body, but it can just get you moving. It can get you moving in the right direction. And can absolutely have, again, better than being stationary. So try the exercise snacking if you feel like you just need to start somewhere. And then from there, you might feel like you're ready to add something a little more structured.
Yay. I love that. That's such an actionable, quick tip that anybody can try. So thank you so much for talking with me, Shannon. I'm going to link some of my favorite episodes because Shannon has a podcast. Is it Fit? What is it called?
Fit Body Happy Joints.
Fit Body Happy Joints. I'll put some links. She had a recent episode that I listened to about is walking enough for cardio. I've seen an episode that she did on sympathetic nervous system and parasympathetic nervous system and how to tell if you're chronically in the sympathetic, which I know a lot of us parents are. She's also had a lot of episodes on breaking down like myths of the kind of exercise you need. She just does really good job of breaking down the research. So I'm going to link you and share your podcast to everybody here who wants to learn more from you. And can you tell everyone else where to find you on Instagram and socials if they want to connect with you outside of the podcast?
Sure. Instagram is Dr. Shannon DPT. And then Evlo Fitness has a page too. So if you just search EVLO Fitness, you'll find me on there too. And then evlofitness.com is our website.
Yes. And I will put the link to a code so that you could have a 1 month trial to the program. I'll put a link to that in the show notes for everyone who wants to try it out. And I hope to see all of you within the community, maybe hear from some of you who have tried it and like it too. So thank you so much for your time today, Shannon. It's been so good talking to you.
Yay. This is so fun. Thank you, Laura.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider rating it and leaving a review, which helps other parents find me as well. Want to learn more from me? I share tons more over on Instagram @TheOTButterfly. See you next time.